Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Bishop of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th Hour, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 10, 2017, or the 17th day of the 4th month, 2021, and we'll start our first service today with a song entitled, He Leadeth Me. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, overs with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where I be, still 'tis Yah's hand that leadeth me. He lifteth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful power I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes it seems of deepest gloom, sometimes where Aden's flowers bloom. The water still for troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful Father loved me, for by His hand He leadeth me. Yon with us, the hand in mine, forever murmur nor repine. Content wherever Lord has seen, this is the hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, and by the grace of victory's won, even death's wave I will not flee, since Yah to Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, both on His hand He leadeth me. Part 3, Obedience Brings Rewards. We're on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Prophecy is commanded. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. It says, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto Yahweh, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men unto edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the congregation. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with the tongues, except he interpret that their congregation may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak unto you either by revelation or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine, and even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself unto the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without the signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh as a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be as a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel unto the edifying of the congregation. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of the thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my Yahweh, I speak with the tongues more than ye all. Yet in the congregation I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith Yahweh. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Tongues are for a sign, not unto them that believe, but unto them that believe not. The prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now there's a scripture that we need to put to memory. We often wonder, what's the big significance in speaking in tongues? And we think we know, and we believe that at the Pentecost with the apostles and the 120 on that day, 2,000 years ago, that they spoke in a Galilean tongue, one tongue, but everyone with a different dialect that came in from all over the then known world. And to Jerusalem that day, on the day of Pentecost, they said they heard every man in his own tongue what was being said by the apostles. Yet the apostles were speaking in one tongue, and that was a Galilean tongue. Okay, verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If therefore the whole congregation be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship Yahweh and report that Yahweh is in you of a truth. Okay, there's that truth, that word truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, that all things be done unto edifying. Any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and the congregation, and let him speak unto himself and unto the Yahweh. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed unto another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophet. For Yahweh is not the author of confusion, but of the peace, as in all congregations of the saints. That your women keep silence in the congregations, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, simply meaning that they are not permitted to sit in the back row of the congregation when the pastor or the person that is speaking up front has the floor. These people were so excited about this gift of tongues that had come unto them from many different ones that they couldn't contain themselves in the congregation. The women would congregate in the back of the congregation while the sermon was going on, and they would talk among themselves. This is what Paul was talking about. Let your women keep silence in the congregation, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under the obedience, as also saith the law. They are commanded to be under the obedience. Obedience to what? Obedience to the decorum of the congregation services. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. They won't learn something that they missed out on because they were back there talking among themselves. They missed out on a message that was being given by the person speaking and had the floor. So by them being inconsiderate and so forth, and disrespectful, they missed out on the message of the moment. And so now they say, if they want to learn anything, then let them wait till they get home and ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the congregation. In other words, it's a shame for them to be carrying on frivolous conversations in the back of the congregation while the preacher is up in front and supposed to have all the attention. Verse 36, what came the word of Yahweh out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of Yahweh. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Okay, that's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We got one verse And verse 34 was, for they are commanded to be under the obedience, as also saith the law. In Ephesians 5:22 it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Yahshua is the head of the congregation, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the congregation is subject unto the Yahshua, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. In Titus 2:5 it says, start with verse 3. The aged woman likewise, or the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient unto their own husbands, that the word of Yahweh be not blasphemed. In 1 Peter 3:1 it says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and of the wearing of the gold, or of the putting on of the apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of Yahweh of great price. Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in Yahweh adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Yahweh. Okay, it says, Paul rejoices, receive us, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you, great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, Yahweh that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the comforting coming of the Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sore with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were not but for a reason. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed unto repentance, for you were made sorry after a righteous manner, that ye might receive a damage by us in nothing. For righteous sorrow worketh repentance unto the salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sought after, a righteous sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of Yahweh might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, I am exceedingly the more joyed with for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything unto him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we speak all things unto you in the truth, even so our boasting which I made before Titus is found as a truth, and his inward affections is more abundant towards you, while he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you in all things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 10. Paul's spiritual authority. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Yahshua, who in the presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, that I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according unto the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through Yahweh unto the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down imaginations, okay, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Yeshua, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust unto himself that he is Yahshua's, let him of himself think of this again, that as he is Yahshua's, even so are we Yahshua's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Yahweh hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. As such, and one think this that, such as we are in the word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we do not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without measure, but according unto the measure of the rule which Yahweh hath distributed unto us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as unto you also in preaching the gospel of Yahshua, not boasting of the things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according unto our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel. Okay, when we say the word gospel, actually we should just put in the place of the word gospel the plan of salvation through the blood of the Yahshua. That should always go in the place of the gospel. Just say, for the preaching of the gospel, parentheses, plan of the salvation through the blood of Yeshua in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready unto our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Yeshua. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Yeshua commendeth. Okay, that's the end of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Now, here we go to Philemon now, chapter 1. Okay, we go to just only one chapter in Philemon. Okay, I'm going to read the introduction. Paul is the author of Philemon, which was probably written about A.D. 61. This is Paul's letter to Philemon concerning Onesimus, a former slave of Philemon's. The letter begins with a greeting unto Philemon, followed by a plea on behalf of Onesimus. Although there is no positive statement of the outcome of this plea, it is reasonable to assume that Philemon did as Paul asked in the context of the forgiveness as demonstrated by the Yeshua's death on the cross. So we start with verse 1 and Paul's plea for Onesimus. Paul, a prisoner of the Yeshua, Messiah, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and unto our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and unto the congregation in thy house, grace unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Savior Yeshua Messiah. I thank my Yahweh, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Yeshua Messiah and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you and the Yeshua Messiah. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in the Yeshua to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I'd rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Yeshua Messiah, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bond, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable unto thee and unto me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is in mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Now, bonds of the gospel, bonds of the plan of the salvation, teaching of the plan of the salvation through the blood of Yeshua. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefits should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved specifically, especially unto me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and the Yahweh. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it, howbeit I do not say unto thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self beside. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Yeshua. Refresh my bowels in the Yeshua. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute the Ephesus, my fellow prisoner in the Yeshua Messiah, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Savior Yeshua Messiah be with your spirit. Hallelujah. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining unto the Yahweh, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. Okay, so sins is very important to deal with as the number one object here on this earth and in the universe. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of Yahweh, as was Aaron. So also Yahshua glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, Paul could have very well used that word gospel there, that eternal salvation. See, and being made perfect, he became the author of the eternal gospel. But instead, Paul used the word salvation, which is the best word. Verse 10, Hebrews chapter 5, called of Yahweh as an high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, warring against spiritual immaturity, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of the hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yahweh, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth unto them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, that's the end of Hebrews chapter 5. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and see what we come up with there. And we start with the first verse. It says, Peter, an apostle of the Yahshua Messiah, unto the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according unto the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father, to the sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua Messiah. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Yahweh and Father of our Savior Yahshua Messiah, that according unto his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Yahshua Messiah from the dead. Unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Yahweh through the faith unto the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This is what we're looking for, the salvation that is to be revealed in his last time, and Yahweh has given that unto us to reveal the plan of salvation through the new and living way by the blood of sprinkling of the Yahshua. So verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in the heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of the gold that perishes, though it be tried with the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Yahshua Messiah, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with the joy unspeakable and full of the glory. Okay, so it says verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Okay, so here's that word salvation again, that we have put in the place of the word gospel. So you see, the most appropriate word to always use, and that word gospel is a pagan word anyway, meaning Yahweh spelled it out. So anyway, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Yahshua, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of the Yahshua and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel, preached the plan of the salvation through the blood of Yahshua unto you with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Of the angels that the angels desire to look into. The holy life, verse 13, 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope unto the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of the Yahshua Messiah. This word grace is far-reaching. It has more implications to it than meets the eye. A common person without the Spirit's inspiration cannot perceive of the full ramification of what this word means. Because see, up there in verse 10, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, it says, of which the salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So the prophets had grace back then. Grace is only given to the spiritual people. It's not given. And it's also a period of time. But that's not the main thing. Grace is a gift that Yahweh plants in the soul of men especially those that are called by for a prophetic purpose, to give them a tool in which to resist the temptations of the devil. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according unto the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in the fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Yahshua, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in the Yahweh that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in the Yahweh, seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of Yahweh, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of Yahweh endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua is preached unto you. That ends 1 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to continue on now with Peter. Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Okay, so in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, being born again. Okay, so now in verse 2 of second chapter, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Yeshua is gracious, unto whom coming as unto a living stone, this is that living stone, you see, this little stone here now, the mountain is out of hand here in Daniel 2:44-45. This is very interesting at this point, because I'm going to go bring it point up right now. It says, and in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left unto to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Okay. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hand, and they break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great Elohim hath made known unto the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So what is that telling us there? This is a living stone, hewn out of the mountain without hands. Yahshua is not that living stone. really he is the living stone, the cornerstone, according to Zechariah 4. But nevertheless, this little stone, antypical David's kingdom, where it says in verse 35, it says, or verse 34 of Daniel chapter 2, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of the iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. This image represents all of the world's nations of governments that are under the control of the Holy See, the Catholic Church. Okay? And so it says, this little stone represents the kingdom of David. But David, and typical David is the head of it. And Yahshua at the head of David. And Yahshua is also connected to this stone because he was the one that hewed this stone out without hand. He's the one that did it by the Spirit to begin with. So it says in Daniel 2:35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone, house of David, Yahshua, leading it, that smote the image, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, why do I say that Yahshua is the one that hewed the stone out, the house of David? Because it says there in Jeremiah 51:19-20, it says, you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with thee will I thresh the nation. So that's, he's going to thresh the nation with this little stone that breaks his image on the feet. So in Jeremiah 51, we'll go ahead and read it. It says, verse 19, and I will bring Israel again unto his habitation, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. Mount Ephraim is your 10 tribes, represented by the Adventist Church. Gilead is your 2 tribes, represented by Gilead Center of Kermit, Texas, from 1970 to 2003. As the tribe of Judah, the throne of David was set up there, even though Brother Johnson was of the Mount Edom and he set up on the Mount of Esau. Nevertheless, he had his place upon that throne of David, and from 1970 to 2003, says in Jeremiah 51:20, in those days and in that time, says Yahweh, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Okay. And it says, go up against the land of, well, actually, I'm reading Jeremiah 50 right now, and verse 20, it says, or 21, go up against the land of Marathon, even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, says Yahweh, and I do according unto all that I have commanded it. Now we go to Jeremiah 51. And it says that, verse 19, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Yahshua of the host is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms. So this little stone hewn out of mouth without hands, this is his battle axe. He's going to thresh the nations with it. Donald Trump is just the precursor to all of this. He is getting the nations prepared to come and to form the battle line between the righteous nations and the evil nations. Okay, that goes, let us go now back to 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, Verse 4, unto him coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of Yahweh and precious. He also, as a lot of these stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto Yahweh by Yahshua Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And the stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. That's who we are. This is talking directly to the house of David here. A peculiar people. Yes, indeed we are. That you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That in the time past were not a people, but are now the people of Yahweh, that have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The Christian and relationships. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify Yahweh in the day of the visitation. Submit unto others. Verse 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Yahweh's sake, for the Yahshua's sake, whether it be unto the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of Yahweh, that with well doing you may put unto silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of Yahweh, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, honor the king, servants be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only unto the good and gentle, but also unto the forward, for this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward Yahweh endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your fault, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to Yahweh. For even hereunto were you called, because Yahshua also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps who did no sin. You should follow his steps who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead unto sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Okay, that ends chapter 2. Let's continue on to 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and of the wearing of the gold, or of the putting on of the apparel. But let it be the hidden the man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, that is in the sight of Yahweh of a great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in Yahweh adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him thus, Master, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according unto knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of the life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if you do all these things, then your prayers won't be hindered. But if you don't comply with all of the law that Yahweh requires for each and every one, whether it be the woman or the man, we're all under the same laws, folks. Yahshua and suffering. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto call, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of Yahweh are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, nor to be troubled. But sanctify the Yeshua Messiah in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer unto every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, Yahshua. For it is better if the will of the Yahweh be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Yahshua also had once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto Yahweh, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, for the preaching of them, the Noah and the antediluvian people, the flood, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering Yahweh waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, were in few, that is, eight souls, were saved by the water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward Yahweh. So it says that the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of the Yeshua Messiah, who is gone into the heavens, and is on the right hand of Yahweh, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. This brings us further study. This is our contest at the 11th hour call. Let's never let it click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Dusty Roses and the Feet by Elijah Davis. Man of Galilee, for he walked those dusty roads, you and me. Often crossed take his throne, get his burden all along as he journeyed along the road to Calvary. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, through the golden street to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and no feet. I have reason to believe in that man of Galilee, for there's nothing in this world he couldn't do. Change the water into wine, cast out demons, heal the blind, and that's why I believe in that man of Galilee. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to the golden street, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and no feet. Dusty roads are his companion, desert places his abode. Sandal feet are often weary underneath a heavy load. Never complaining as he went along the way, on the way to Mount Calvary and the judgment day. Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty roads and no feet. Dusty roads and no feet, how would you like to meet that man named Joshua coming down your street? Would you be like Zacchaeus and climb up in a tree? Or would you be like Jonah, wanted to be? Dusty roads and no feet, all the journey was complete. From the manger to the cross, to those golden streets, to a place in the land where someday we all shall meet. The author of the story, dusty